Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the earnings conference call for Q1 FY27 for Meenakshi India Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the management discussion concludes. Should you need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star followed by zero on your touch-tone phone. Meenakshi India Limited was incorporated in 1982 and is involved in the business of apparel manufacturing based out of Tamil Nadu. The company provides end-to-end manufacturing solutions and specializes in premium bottomwear and outerwear for international brands. With over four decades of industry experience, Meenakshi India Limited combines manufacturing excellence, product innovation, and sustainable practices to deliver high-quality apparel solutions to customers worldwide. Let us now begin with the introduction of the management team. We have with us today Mr. Ashutosh Goenka, Chairman and Managing Director of the company. Also joining us today is Mr. Shubham Goenka, Executive Non-Independent Whole-Time Director, Ms. Kanchan Rathi, Company Secretary, Mr. Vivek Baheti, Chief Financial Officer, and Ms. Dhruti, Senior Manager, Finance. I would now like to request Mr. Ashutosh Goenka, Chairman and Managing Director, to give his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Sorry, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. On behalf of the Board of Directors and the entire management team, I extend a warm welcome to all our shareholders, investors, analysts, and business partners. History tells us that leadership in global manufacturing changes only once every few decades. I believe we are witnessing one of those moments today. India has a unique opportunity to emerge as one of the world's preferred apparel sourcing destinations. For the first time in many years, multiple structural forces are converging in India's favor. Global brands are actively diversifying their sourcing base under the China Plus One strategy. At the same time, India's growing network of bilateral trade agreements and free trade agreements, including the recently concluded agreement with the U.K. and the European Union, and the ongoing one with the United States, have the potential to further strengthen India's competitiveness in the global apparel sourcing industry. These are not cyclical developments. They are structural changes that can reshape the global apparel supply chain over the coming decade. I believe Indian manufacturers with strong capabilities, proven execution, and long-standing customer relationships will be among the biggest beneficiaries of this transformation. With this opportunity, Meenakshi India occupies a very distinct position. From the very beginning, we have consciously chosen to build our business around premium global brands rather than the mass market apparel segment. Our customers do not choose us simply because of the price. They choose us because of our ability to consistently deliver superior quality, product innovation, technical expertise, sustainability, compliance, and dependable execution. This also means that our competitive landscape is fundamentally different from others. Countries such as Bangladesh, Vietnam, and Pakistan have established themselves as strong manufacturing hubs for large volumes and price-sensitive apparel. However, at Meenakshi, we operate in the premium segment where sourcing decisions are driven by trust, quality, product complexity, flexibility, and long-term partnerships. These capabilities are built over years, not months, and are reflected in our enduring relationships with leading international brands and our exceptional customer retention record. For over 40 years, we have never tried to be the cheapest manufacturer. We've always strived to be the most trusted manufacturing partner. I firmly believe that philosophy will become even more valuable in the decade ahead. The next decade will not only be won by the lowest cost manufacturers, it will be won by the most trusted partners. at Meenakshi, that is exactly what we have spent 4 decades building. Looking ahead, our strategy remains clear. We will continue to strengthen our leadership in premium woven apparel by expanding capacity in a phased manner, broadening our product portfolio, moving further up in the value chain through value-added offerings, investing in technology, sustainability, while maintaining a financial discipline that has always been one of our greatest strengths. These priorities are aligned with our long-term growth roadmap. Coming to the first quarter, I am pleased to share that we have made encouraging progress. While revenues remain broadly stable, our reported profitability improved significantly, supported primarily by other income during the quarter. However, I believe the more meaningful takeaway lies in the performance of our core garment business. In the corresponding quarter of the previous year, our core business operations had reported an operating loss. During the current quarter, although operating profits from the core business remained modest, we have returned to positive operating performance. We view this as an important milestone because it indicates that the corrective measures taken over the past year have started yielding results, and the fundamentals of our business are steadily improving. As demand continues to strengthen and structural opportunities before the Indian textile industry unfold, we believe this operational recovery provides a solid foundation for sustainable and profitable growth in the years ahead. Markets reward quarterly performances, but great companies are built over decades. At Meenakshi, we remain focused on building an institution that will continue to earn the trust of our customers, employees, and shareholders for generations to come. We are not in the business of producing garments alone. We are in the business of building enduring relationships with our customers, with our employees, communities, and our shareholders. If we continue to strengthen those relationships and execute with discipline, I am confident that sustainable growth and long-term shareholder value will naturally flow. Before I conclude, I would like to sincerely thank our employees for their dedication and hard work, our customers for their continued support, our suppliers and business partners for their unwavering support, and our shareholders for their confidence in Meenakshi. With this, I invite our whole-time director, Shubhang Goenka, to take you through the financial performance of the quarter in more detail. After that, I think we can have the Vivek and Dhriti will join us for the Q&A session, and we will answer any queries that we have. Thank you. Over to you, Shubham.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. A very warm welcome to the first earnings call of Meenakshi India Limited. Thank you for joining us. Before we begin, I'd like to note that some of the statements made on today's call may be forward-looking in nature. Actual results may differ, and I'd request all of you to read them together with the disclosures in our published results. This is a special call for us. Our equity shares were listed on BSE Limited on the 22nd of July this year under the direct listing route, and this is our first opportunity to speak with the wider investment community. With that said, I'll now jump into the results. For the quarter ended 30th June 2026, the company delivered a profit after tax of 712 lakhs as against 281 lakhs in the same quarter last year, a growth of nearly 153% year-on-year, and against 451 lakhs in the immediately preceding quarter, a growth of about 58% quarter-on-quarter, 58% year-on-year again. Earnings per share came in at 6.34 rupees for the quarter compared with 2.51 rupees a year ago and 4.02 rupees in quarter four of the previous year. 4.02 in quarter four. Revenue from operations was 3,224 lakhs compared with 3,339 lakhs in Q1 of last year, lower by about 3.4% year on year, and 2,921 lakhs in Q1 of FY25, representing a 10.3% growth. What I would draw your attention to is the quality of this revenue. Our textile segment result, the operating profit of the garment business, improved to 343 lakhs from 28.24 lakhs in the same quarter last year, a 12-fold improvement on a broadly similar top line. This reflects a better product mix, pricing discipline, and cost control in a tariff-disrupted global sourcing environment. The total expenses for the quarter were 3,172 lakhs, down 6.9% year-on-year, and almost 18.5% quarter-on-quarter. Within this, cost of materials net of inventory changes was 1,472 lakhs, which works out to about 45.7% of revenue, an improvement from roughly 48% last year. Employee benefit expense was at 894 lakhs, broadly flat year-on-year, and 7.3% lower than quarter four. Other expenses declined 7.3% year-on-year to 747 lakhs. Finance cost was just 9.98 lakhs, and I'll come back to you on what this says about our balance sheet. Other income for our quarter was 711 lakhs against 402.7 lakhs last year. I want to be fully transparent about this composition as we've disclosed in note 7 of our results. It includes an unrealized fair gain value on investments of rupees 372.64 lakhs and a net gain of 225.78 lakhs from the reversal and remeasurement of foreign currency forward contracts and realized investment gains of 32.91 lakhs. These items are linked to market prices and may vary or not recur in subsequent quarters. The effective tax rate for the quarter was about 6.6%, primarily because of unrealized fair value gains, attracting minimal current tax until realization. A few ratios worth noting. PAT margin on total income was about 18%. Our core EBITDA margin, that is the garment business alone, excluding our other income, turned positive at about 3.4% against a marginally negative number in the same quarter last year. And we see further room for normalization towards our historical level. The company's net worth stood at 142.65 crores as on 30th June, a book value of about 127 rupees per share, up from 130.65 crores at March 25th. We are effectively debt-free with borrowings of under 1 crore, and we held cash, bank balances and investments of approximately 80 crores at the last balance sheet date. To summarize the quarter, a strong bottom line, an operating business that has clearly turned the corner from last year's industry-wide stress, a treasury that performed well and which we have disclosed transparently, and a balance sheet with zero leverage and substantial liquidity that gives us flexibility to invest as the global sourcing realignment plays out. We thank our shareholders, long-standing and new, for their confidence.
Yeah, we can go to the question and answer session.
Sure, thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask questions, please press star and one. Participants who wish to ask questions may press star and one to join the question queue. The first question is from Rishikesh Rajesh Shah from Alchemy Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I hope I'm audible.
A little less, but we can hear you.
One second. Now it's audible?
Yeah, better.
Yeah. So, sir, since this is the first on call that we are holding, for better understanding, I had a few questions. So, if I look at our business, it is dominantly into premium bottomwear and outerwear. So, do you think this is a conscious choice to stay in bottomwear where per piece realizations are high, or is there any other reason as well for this high realizations?
No, the reason why we, as I gave in my opening remarks also, we've always concentrated on premium wear segment because premium bottom wear segment because we feel that competing against mass market brands like the mass market production centers like Bangladesh and Vietnam is going to be difficult. So we'd rather stick to value-added premium product where the competition is from countries like Turkey or Tunisia, Eastern European production bases, Guatemala, Latin American production bases. So we've consciously maintained our focus on premium bottom wear segment. Bottom wear essentially because until 2005, India was under the quota regime where this category was a very sought-after category. The premiums on the quota were very high, which means that the orders that were coming to India were much higher than what India was allowed to export. So we realized that once the quotas go, this will be a fantastic opportunity instead of competing in other categories. We started a plant specializing in bottom wear, and it paid off.
Right. So, sir, if we look at the performance of this company in FY26, I know we had tariffs. Even in Q1, we have some headwinds. But being a premium kind of manufacturer, we should have been able to pass on the higher tariffs at reasonably easily as compared to other Bangladesh and Vietnam kind of people. So don't you think our margins have taken a lot of hit if we are a premium player, as we say?
It doesn't matter whether we are premium or mass market when it comes to tariffs. In fact, the impact on their selling price is much higher than the impact that low-cost countries had or low-cost products will have. And going by whatever we've been hearing in the industry, we've shared much lesser of the burden than a lot of other manufacturers have in the mass market segment.
Okay. And, sir, we talk about having our in-house washery. So other companies also have in-house washery, or this is something we do differently as compared to other companies?
No, most of the companies have their own in-house washing. Our washing capabilities, there is a handwriting to the wash effect, which can vary from company to company. And this is where our USP is. Our wash effects are especially liked by our customers. The signature that the product carries is very distinct from other manufacturers.
Okay. And, sir, when I look at the PPT, you guys talk about growth areas moving into adjacent apparel items from men's bottom wear. Then you talk about women wear and athleisure. So exactly what do we want to do on this side? Are we moving away from this high realization premium bottom wear to all these segments?
No, so I'll Shubhang here. We aren't looking to move away. We are intending to supplement our capabilities. Women's wear is a obvious easy entry because a women's wear bottom and a men's wear bottom aren't too different in terms of product. So we look to target companies for their women's wear bottom segment and outerwear segment also. Apart from that, it is a move to expand our product offering. Athleisure is something that is a global need and a global trend direction that the world moves. So in order to be able to be relevant in this, we too have developed capabilities, the sourcing requirements, the supplier base and the operator handling base to be able to handle these products better. So a customer, including existing customers, has some more option and more relevant option in the same field as bottoms and outerwear as well to buy from us.
Right. And sir, in athleisure, if you see dominantly, it is occupied by your man-made fiber. And we are into cotton fiber, if I'm not wrong. So will we be having different supply chains for that? Or will stay on the cotton side of athleisure?
So we are predominantly cotton fiber-based products, but we do have a certain portion which is man-made fiber as well. We already have a supplier base for man-made fibers, which includes India as well as China and other countries. And we just want to develop this supply base a little more to get fabrics that are more relevant towards athleisure so that you can serve that segment. So it's not that we don't have a foot in the game. We're just trying to get better our capability.
Got it. And so also we talked about entering the D2C side of the business. So exactly what do we want to do on that side?
Well, we've already entered it as a test marketing phase. And unfortunately, we ran into some patent issues with short stops. So for the time being, since we hadn't invested much in the brand and our test marketing was not very far ahead, we put that on hold as of now until we are able to sort out this patent issue.
Right. And capacity expansion, when I look at the presentation we had, we are planning to go from 18 lakh pieces to 38 lakh pieces. And our current capacity is 65% and has a good room for growth for the next 1 or 2 years, if I'm not wrong. So are we seeing that kind of customer demand?
See, the capacity utilization and percentage is very relative. That can change with the product mix. 65% does not really mean that we've used 65% capacity and 35% is empty. The 65% we've taken in terms of just absolute number of pieces produced. So if the product mix is different, utilization could be lower, but it could actually mean that the capacity is utilized better. So having said that, we do have some capacity in the current facilities. That would be about two lines, if I may mention in the industry nomenclature. Apart from that, we plan to gradually add two more manufacturing units, depending on the demand. But yes, we see demand going up in India substantially to be able to use up these capacities that we planned.
Right. So then when we talk about entering into an MOU for contract manufacturing in Sri Lanka, then Vietnam or Nepal, so if there's so much demand in India, then why do we want to move to this manufacturing bases outside India?
This is to help give our existing customers and new US customers an opportunity to still work with Meenakshi and let us do the production in a country of origin that suits their needs. So there are different countries from where we're seeing demand. We took this step primarily for the US market given the war, the uncertainty on geopolitical situation. It always helps a customer to know that if there was a change in situation within a short period of time, that we still can offer a flexibility to move production and safeguard some of their costs. That doesn't take away anything from the business that we're seeing from Europe and the UK with the FTAs in place. The Sri Lanka MOU was not intended to move production from these places out of India. We are seeing good requirement from brands in Europe and UK itself to start taking up a lot of capacity within our existing and potentially new plants.
I'll add to this, the Sri Lankan agreement was done only to tide over the tariff issues. We've got that agreement in place. We've not luckily had the need to use it. So that is an arrangement that we would use only in case of extreme conditions if there is a turnaround on the tariffs. As far as Nepal is concerned, that definitely is a future plan, because what we've been seeing in the past one and a half years is a change in the policy of the U.S. every now and then. So Nepal, since before the quota regime, already had this industry in a very big way, has available labor, cheaper labor, and capability skill levels are available. So that is something we'll definitely look at, you know, to diversify geographical manufacturing risk.
Got it. So, and what is the kind of capex we are looking for this incremental 20 lakh pieces, and what it can, if you can give some aspect as to how much we'll be doing capex each year for 27 and 28, and how much will be operationalized over the next 2-3 years?
Yeah, Vivek this side. So we are looking forward to put in one factory in 28, and that will cost 20 crores for one factory. Further, that will go phase manner. We'll use the capacity over the years, and the second factory we're looking at FY 2030, that will again have a similar cost.
Okay, got it. Right. And sir, if you can give some kind of guidance as to what capacity utilization or revenue you are looking for in FY 2027, and margins we can expect.
Well, FY 2027, we're looking at better capacity utilization as compared to last year. We've made adjustments to our way of working as well from last year. Margins also, as you can see from quarter one, is on track to be back to pre-tariff levels. At the moment, our expectation is to be utilizing about close to 70% capacity in FY 2027, and we move back towards the EBITDA margins that we saw in FY 2025.
Okay, got it. So, and this, I had one more question regarding landed duty paid that we are shifting towards. So I know that will give us higher realization, but also that will increase our working capital and we'll have to take responsibility of freight. So why are we moving towards this landed duty paid model? LDP,
this is just to give the customers an additional service. And like you said, we will get a reasonably good margin because it gives the customer a lot of flexibility in their inventory. So people are willing to pay. Of course, that is a very small portion of our business. We would offer that facility only if we get reasonably good rewards for that additional facility.
Right, got it. And again, sir, just a clarity I needed on capex. We'll be doing 30 crores over the next 2 years, and by FY 2030, again next 30 crores.
No, about 40 crores over up to FY 2030 in two years.
Right. So 20 crores.
Yes. These are ballpark figures, you know, very, very ballpark figures. I would rather say 40 to 50 crores.
Right. And sir, phase one will be operational by FY28?
We hope to have it operational by FY28, but right now we don't see it happening exactly in 28. We may be off by a couple of months.
Okay, got it, got it. Thanks. Thanks a lot, sir, for all the answers. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to participants that you may press star and one to join the question queue. The next question is from Riya Patel, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah. So, I have a few questions. So, the first question is that what is the geographical breakup of the revenue in terms of the countries? Hello.
Hello. Yeah, so we are more or less 50-50 between Europe and the US. We have a small customer base out of Australia and another small customer base out of the Middle East. But in broad terms, it's never a fixed value. As a thumb rule, we hover between half and half. The US has slowed a bit given the tariffs, and Europe has taken a little more of the share. So if I'm not wrong, we're closer to 60% Europe at the moment.
60%. Okay. And also the company is still dealing with the effects of tariffs from the US, or are we things back to normal now?
So things are not back to normal what they were before tariff levels. But the good thing that we need to take note from is that our customer base in the US has still decided to remain with Meenakshi. A lot of customers have moved out of India, and once the business moves out of India, it's very difficult to get them back into the country. We've managed to keep the customers that we used to work with before tariff. Volumes have reduced. It's a blend of tariff-related reasons as well as overstocking on the customer side, but we are seeing positive a positive working relation going forward with our US business.
Okay, and what are the steps that were taken to mitigate the effects of the same when they were imposed?
So the first step is that we had to partner with our US customers on prices, on discounts. This is in order to hedge the increase in cost so that they don't have to pass too much of a cost on to the end consumer as well. We had to hold some shipments for a small period of time so that we can land them at times when tariffs are favorable. These are the two major things that we had to do to keep the business with.
Essentially, if you see, our margins took a hit because of the discounts that we offered to the customers to retain them.
Okay. Fair enough. And are there any other markets like Japan, China, Middle East, where the company is planning to expand its customer base?
So the company is working with a large majority of countries across the globe. We are looking to increase our base in countries such as Australia also, Japan also, and Canada as well. Our business in Canada has grown in the last year, so has Australia. We believe partially also helped by the FTAs in those countries in the last few months. Japan has always been a favorable country for the Indian market. Although we don't have any business in Japan at the moment, it has always been a country of target and country of interest for us.
Okay, and what about China, sir?
At the moment, China is not on our target base. China is a net exporter of garments. And at the moment, they are quite significantly hit with tariffs themselves. So a lot of capacity in China is available, and we don't intend to get into the market to get into a price war, effectively. But a lot of our customers also sell in China. So in that way, we have a customer base where we ship some products to China, but the parent customer is a European brand.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. And can you please tell me the revenue contribution of the top five clients?
I think it will be about 70% will be concentrated in the top five clients.
Top five. Okay. And what is about the top 10?
The rest would be
above 95,
yeah.
Because we have, I think at any point of time, anywhere between 12 to 20 customers at the most. Yeah.
Okay. Got it. And I just wanted to know that what is the maximum capacity utilization that can be achieved? Right,
80%.
55%, right?
Correct. So 80% is when we plan, as we hit 80%, we start to increase capacity. We don't intend to use, also it is difficult to plan to use 100% given the seasonality of the business. 80% is a good target for capacity utilization.
And by when this 80% will be achieved?
We are hoping by FY 27 we should hit 70%, and then FY 28 we start to use the balance, and we put up a new capacity. We put up more capacity.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may press star and one. The next question is from Jagdish Sharma from Sincere Syndication. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Sir, my two questions is, first is you just said you will reach pre-tariff EBITDA margin, right?
We are not going to reach pre-tariff EBITDA margin entirely, but we are moving towards that, as evidenced by the first quarter.
So you will reach at least, so what will be the margin, sir?
17-18%. The margin is hard to pinpoint exactly, given that the market situation is changing on a daily basis. We are targeting to hit a margin of about 17%.
By FY28.
Okay. And sir, you have already done 29.5, which is 30 crore EBITDA in FY25. But in the presentation, you have given 65 crore as PAT guidance and 500 crores as EBITDA margin. Sorry, 500 crores as revenue. Don't you think this is a little bit conservative, sir?
It is, keeping in mind the... No, we are talking about... Can you repeat the question if I heard you wrong, please?
No, sir. By FY30, you have guided, or you are saying that project FY30 revenue and PAT to be 500 crores and 65 crores respectively, right?
Yeah, that's not a very ambitious... conservative... that is a conservative figure. We should be able to achieve this. The reason why we've given conservative figures is because, you know, the FTAs are not fully operational yet. The European FTA will hopefully get operational in the first quarter of calendar year 27. The U.S., we've been hearing contradicting reports for the past 2 months on a daily basis. So we've actually kept these things in mind and kept a conservative target. We are hopeful of surpassing these figures.
Okay, so because it looks super conservative, because you have already done 30%, 30 crore EBITDA in FY25. With that, let's say you are coming back to the margin level, you could at least do 110 crore EBITDA.
I'll correct you here. In FY25, there was an exceptional income of about 12.5 crores. So I think
okay.
You have taken that out.
I guess, yeah. Understood. So it is like a 3x. Okay. So my next question is like in one of your slides you have given say that early stage of strategic evaluation for expansion into Nepal, Vietnam and Sri Lanka. What is this about, sir?
We are intending to diversify and give our customers a product offering from different countries. So our next factory, we are also considering to put up outside India in one of the three countries mentioned on our presentation.
And what about this contract manufacturing, sir? And what is this about?
Contract manufacturing is an option which is not a factory wholly owned by Meenakshi, but there is a pricing agreement and a terms of business agreement with an existing Sri Lankan factory to carry out our production in that factory.
Understood. And you have calculated this revenues also into that project FY30, right? Am I right in my understanding, sir? Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. So what will what is your expectation, sir? Will it be 5-10% or 20% contribution to the revenues, sir?
Like I earlier said on the call, the Sri Lankan facility will be utilized only if there is an adverse impact of tariffs on India. Else we will not use that capacity. So we can't give you a number on that. It all depends on how things pan out in the future.
Okay, let's say you are not utilizing, you will utilize the Indian factory for the contract manufacturing. Is what you are saying and that is the understanding which is correct.
When it is Indian factories, it's our own factories where we will do the production.
Understood.
The Sri Lankan contract is just in case there is an adverse impact.
Understood.
Yeah. So we have a an existing agreement to move the production out of India at a short.
Understood. Sir, my final question, sir. Entry into the D2C segment, how do you plan to do that, sir, and how, what do you think of that, sir?
I just answered that on my previous caller, I think. We've actually put that on hold right now because we've got some patent issues pending on this.
Okay.
So, and we just started test marketing. We hadn't gone into it full-fledgedly. So we put that on hold for the time being until we decide how to go about it.
Understood, sir. Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. All the very best, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from Jignesh from Vidart Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So, sir, since this is your first call, I wanted to understand there were, before tariffs, the numbers were quite good. So, can you give some brief background on what kind of, I can only see the quarterly numbers. So, FY25, what kind of numbers we achieved and across how many clients we had achieved that number?
Yeah, just a second.
Can you repeat? This was you're asking about FY25.
Yeah. Historically.
Yeah, FY25, we had gross revenue of 191 lakhs, and our EBITDA at 51 lakhs, which includes
gross.
Sorry, 155 crores is the operational revenue, and 191 crores is the gross revenue. On this, EBITDA is at 51 crores, which includes the exceptional item of 12.5 crores. But PAT is at 40 crores, including the exceptional item.
Okay, so now broadly, what was that exceptional item, 12.5 crores?
Yeah, we had a sale of agriculture land that contributed to that exceptional item.
The sale of land?
Yes.
Okay. So, since we are also, there is no debt in the company and we are sitting on a lot of cash also. So, broadly wanted to understand the reason for the IPO and where has the amount being utilized?
We have not done an IPO. We were listed on Calcutta Stock Exchange, as you know, which has been non-functional for the past 25 years.
We've just gone
for direct listing on BSE. We've not raised
funds. Okay. So
we've got cash on books, so we don't need to raise funds.
Right. Okay. And so the kind of revenues and the EBITDA number, apart from the exceptional income that we had, so that kind of that EBITDA can be reached by FY28. But even sure. after there is some tariff finalization, so you expect that number to come again, since a lot of clients must have reduced business since last 1 or 2 years and might be doing the business with other countries?
Like Subhan told earlier in his remarks, we've given discounts primarily to hold on to the customers, and that has paid results. So we've not lost any customer. And the margins that we've projected, we've been consistently achieving those margins in the past 3-4 years. So we don't see a problem in achieving the same EBITDA margins in FY28 either.
Right, understood. And another question, right, your main focus then is on the bottom wear. Suppose you are getting into other segments like athleisure. So over after you start your new plant by FY30, what kind of revenues you see from the new segments?
So athleisure is not an entirely new segment, and athleisure also includes bottom wear in athleisure. We are already developing our capability. It's not that our next plant will be a dedicated athleisure plant. The capability for athleisure pretty much exists with similar machines. It's just about the raw material base and product handling by the workers.
Right. Right. And so final question, like in Europe for man-made fibers, I think big retailers are... have been stipulated to use the recycled fabrics. So, India as a country, are we ready? Will you be able to source that to provide to your premium customers the finished product?
There is availability of recycled man-made fiber in India. Although it's not a very big capacity, but there is a capacity available.
Okay.
So, wherever customer demands, we are in a position to offer it.
Right, okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions, please press star and one. The next question is from Disha, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi.
Hello.
Yeah, hi. So I want to understand, like, owing to the volatile nature of the current U.S. government, what is the management plans to cover, like, any future trade-related risk that may arise?
So like we mentioned, one step we've already taken is we've got an MOU with a Sri Lankan contract manufacturer that helps you change the country of origin. So if something were to happen on goods made in India, we can offer our customers goods made in Sri Lanka as well. After this, if the Sri Lanka proposition is taken up positively, we're also looking to put up our own plants outside India to hedge geopolitical risks against one single country. So that we can give the customers an option of producing in different countries with different country of origin products.
Okay, so is there any expansion client base in India too? And if it is, then what are the difference in margins domestically and internationally?
So we are primarily an export oriented company. We do very little domestic business because there is a difference in margins and requirements by domestic brands. Domestic brands are more geared towards the price offering, and they don't require the kind of setup that we have in terms of quality, compliance, and factory layouts, and so on. For us, it turns out to be a less profitable business, so we don't plan to get into domestic manufacturing.
Okay. Thanks. I'm done with my questions. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. That was the last question. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Ashutosh Goenka, Chairman and Managing Director, for closing comments.
Thank you, everybody. I hope we've been able to answer your queries. And if there is anything else apart from this, you can get in touch with us offline also. We'll be more than happy to give you whatever details you need. Wishing you all the best, and we look forward to a positive next quarter, where we'll touch base with you soon. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you very much. For any further queries, please write to us at investor.relations@milgroup.in. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Meenakshi India Limited, that concludes today's session. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect your lines.